Seated. Morning. It's good. Good morning online. Glad that you guys are engaging and talking online and worshiping with us today. And so we're grateful for that. Guys, we're preaching through a preaching series focused on the church, really the local church. And each week we've been looking to God's Word to see why it is that we do what we do. We're answering questions specifically about the local church, like Authentic Life, right? And what the Bible teaches us about what we do. We've looked at baptism, right? We've looked at the Lord's Supper. We've looked at graciously and generously giving, and we've looked at serving. Just to recap with baptism, we saw that Jesus calls us to be baptized, right? It's that first step of obedience after we've been saved. So it's not salvation. That water doesn't save us, but it is absolutely important. It is a step of obedience, and it shows the world and the church that we belong to Christ and that we belong to the family of God. We looked at the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul reminds and teaches the church about the Lord's Supper or communion. And that we take it together to be united as a body, to remember the body and the blood of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And we take it to celebrate, really, and to continue following Jesus until he comes again. Then we looked at how God calls us as Christians to give generously, right? Because of the grace that we've received from God, and we've all received that, we should live generously, and we should give toward what God is doing generously in and through the church and through missions throughout the world. Guys, we were reminded that everything that we have is his and from him, right? And so when we give, we're showing Jesus that we trust him, and that we want to be a part of what he's doing. Last week, we saw that God brought us together and he has placed us here. He is sovereign. He's placed us here where he wants us, and he's gifted us to use those gifts to glorify him and to serve the church. And we're reminded that of how much we need each other, right? We need each other. It's not that we just want to be. We absolutely need each other, and we're to use the gifts to glorify him and to accomplish what God has called us to do. This week, I want to bring our attention to Acts chapter 6. Go ahead and turn there in your Bibles or your devices. Acts chapter 6 is where we're going to be this week, and we're going to turn there in just a minute. But today, we're going to see two things in this passage that we must be devoted to in the church. These two things that should be a huge part of who we are and what we do in the local church, even here at Authentic Life. Sometimes in churches, in local churches, we can get distracted. We can put our attention on other things, even other things like ministries, right, which can cause us to neglect these two things. So this morning, as we continue to look at the church and to look at the Bible to see why we do what we do, Acts chapter 6 is where we're going to be at today, and here's what we're going to see. That as a church, one of the things that we must do is we must be devoted to prayer and to the Word, the ministry of the Word. So we're going to be Acts chapter 6. Our main focus is verse 4, but we're going to read through verses 1 through 7. So if you're able, online, here in person, let's stand and let's read this together to honor God and His Word. Just follow along as I read this passage this morning. Here we go. Here's what God's Word says. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, as the disciples, the followers of Christ, Christians, were increasing in number, there arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews that their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. The 12, talking about the apostles, the disciples, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up the preaching of the word of God to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters," talking to the church, "select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole company. So they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a convert from Antioch. They had them stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Let's pray, church. God, we love you. And so, God, as we see here, they were devoted to prayer. God, we come to you not just as a moment of transition, not just something that we do in a worship service, but we come to you together, united corporately, online, in person, as your body, to hear from you,
teach us. Be in charge of what comes out of my mouth. Be in charge of how we receive what we hear. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would be at work within us today. Help us come out of here today more like Jesus than when we came in. God, we love you, and we are grateful that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right, when we think about the local church, we've already seen why we do and what the importance of the Lord's Supper, baptism, serving, and giving generously. And to wrap it up, today we're going to look at the importance of preaching and teaching and sharing the Word of God, and also the importance of prayer within the church. And when we look at Acts chapter 6, we see that highlighted here, to be devoted to those things. And often, when this passage is studied or preached on, it's really to look at deacons, right? And we look at that passage and the deacons and how they were appointed and why they were appointed. And it's a very good passage for that, because it's this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that it really talks about the deacons. We also look at this a lot of times, that how do we meet the needs of those within the church? But what we also see here is that in the local church, the Word of God and prayer are to be a top priority. So let's see what's going on here. So here's really what's happened leading up to this point. Jesus has died for our sins, right? His body was broken. His blood was shed. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And then after he is around for 40 days, right, he gathers his followers and he tells them, he says, hey, go and share the gospel. Tell others about me and the gospel wherever you go. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the gospel, and about 3,000 people were saved at that day. Man, I bet those guys' backs were tired after they baptized about 3,000 people, right? Hopefully they shared the load a little bit, right? But here's the thing. They went from about 120 people to now 3,120 people. So they were baptized, and they became part of the church. And then the Bible tells us that, and we see this throughout Acts, that the Lord is adding to their number daily those who were being saved and baptized, and their church was growing numerically. In fact, when we get to chapter 6, it is believed that there are about 20,000 Jesus followers to be a part of this church. They were saved and then added to the church. And basically what you have is you have the 12 apostles that are leading, right? Jesus is the head of the church. He's always the head of the church. But these 12 men, God was using them to lead the church and to lead these people. They're leading in things like teaching and discipleship and in ministry and in prayer. And as far as we know, right, there really haven't been too many problems in the church. But in verse 1, we see that as they're growing, right, we call it growing pains, right? As they're growing, there arose a complaint. And guys, it was an important matter, right? It wasn't just talking about the color of the chairs or the style of music, right? We've got that one knocked out, right? But not us, and you get what I'm saying. Like, our church today has that, but it was an important matter, right? You had basically two groups of people that made up this family, this church family here. At this point, you've got the Hellenistic Jews and then the native, like the Hebraic Jews. And one of the groups, the Hellenistic Jews, comes to the 12, to their leaders, and says, guys, our widows are being overlooked, right? They're not receiving the care and the food and the distribution that they need. And here's why that's important. The widows were very vulnerable ladies. Right? In their culture, the widows, unfortunately, especially if they didn't have family to take care of them or their husband didn't leave them money, they were kind of casted out in their society, right? They were not valuable to society. But here's the thing, as Christians, as godly people, we know from both the Old Testament and the New Testament that God's people, back then, New Testament, today, we have a responsibility to visit and to care for and come alongside the vulnerable, like the widows. Amen, church? Like, we've got that responsibility. So this wasn't a style of music problem. This was a real problem, but there was also another problem. The 12 apostles, they were basically leading everything. Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37 just gives us a little glimpse of that. We see that these 12, they're preaching, and they're overseeing all of the ministries and the needs of the church. They were not only the shepherds and the teachers of the church, but they were also the finance guys and the distribution guys and the administrators, right? And with the church growing, this group comes to these leaders and says, leaders, we have a serious problem. And the 12, through the wisdom and the leading of the Holy Spirit, they formulate a plan to solve this important problem. They said, find 7 men that are filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning these are godly men led by the Holy Spirit. They're full of wisdom, and they have the ability to do this task, to take care of these important ladies. And check this out. We don't see this often in churches today. It says in verse 5, this proposal pleased, listen to this, the whole company. We can laugh about that, okay? Like, right, it's hard for us to agree on anything today in our culture, right? There was unity. They were all happy, church. Like, isn't that neat? It can happen, right? And it leads to our main part of our text today. Notice in verse 2, it says, the 12 summoned the whole company of the disciples and said, it would not be right for us to give up preaching the word of God to wait on tables. The phrase wait on tables was a reference to 2 things in their culture. It was handling finances, administrating finances, and then also meals. And they're saying this, we know there's an important issue, but if we're the ones as the 12 leaders that have to deal with these important matters as well, we cannot preach the word of God like we should. And so I love this. Last week, we talked about the whole body being important, right? We see that here, that God has brought us together on purpose. He's gifted us and placed us in this church to serve. And we see the 12, what do? They say, hey, we've got an issue, right? We've got a problem. It's important. We can't just push it off to the side, right? So they lean in on the body of Christ. They give some requirements for this task. They said, hey, man, there are people in this church family that have the gifts to serve these ladies. There are people that have the gift of administration and serving and wisdom. And so others in the church, they step up and serve and use their gifts so that the leaders can do what they need to do. Amen, church? I mean, here's what we're saying. We talked about this last week. Sometimes somebody cannot do what God's called them to do because others aren't carrying their weight. Amen? Right? And that's what we see here. It's awesome how it worked. They were all united. They were happy. And then people start using their gifts. So in verse 2, they highlight the importance of preaching the word. They come up with a plan to care for these widows in need. And then in verse 4, here's our main text for today. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Church, I want us to think about an airplane for a second. When you look at an airplane, right, there are 2 wings on an airplane. But there's also a whole lot going on in between those 2 wings. Now, we've got some pilots here at our church, right? They know all this stuff. I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to a plane, amen? Like, I sit on them, I ride in them, right? You with me? But what I do know is there's a whole lot of parts and things that happen in between those 2 wings. But here's the thing. I do know this, right? If those 2 wings aren't on that plane ain't taking off, right? And it's not going to fly much longer if it's already in the air with 1 wing. Amen, church, right? You see a plane that only has 1 wing, you don't get on it. When we think about the church, there's a lot that happens and goes on in the church. But if we don't have those wings, a devotion to prayer and a devotion to the word of God, we aren't going anywhere or we're about to have a crash landing. Amen? Right? And that's what they're saying, right? We need to be devoted to these 2 things. And so for any church, for us right here at Authentic Life Church, we must be devoted to prayer. We must be devoted to prayer. The word devoted means to be constant, to give steadfast attention to, or to persevere and continue in. Here's what that means. It's not a one and done thing, right? A lot of times we in the church, we see needs arise. Or we want to reach a certain community, or we want to do certain ministries, or we want to see certain things happen, or we want to grow as a body within the church. And so what do? We're really good. We make committees, right? We make committees, and we come up with a plan. And if that plan and committee doesn't work, you hire a committee over the committees, and then you kind of start over, and you come up with a different plan. And if that doesn't work, then here's what we do. We say, man, all that's left to do is pray. But I promise you, church, that's not God's design. That's not how this early church functioned. They didn't go and create a plan. They prayed first. They were devoted to prayer. This church lived out and modeled being devoted to prayer. It was a way of life for them. I want you guys to walk through this with me real quick. I want us to see what this devotion to prayer looked like. This wasn't just a one and done thing. I'm going to walk through this together so we can see why these apostles are saying we've got to be devoted to prayer. Here's what they've already done. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if we know Jesus, we should know this verse. Jesus says this. He's died. He's risen again. He's about to go be with the Father in heaven. And he says this, one of his last words, but you, church, will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So when we're saved, the Holy Spirit resides within us. We've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, and you shall be my witnesses. That word means you have a message about me to tell the world that is worth dying for, right? You're going to be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. And so after hearing Jesus, the first thing these followers of Jesus did, it wasn't to get their whiteboards out. And that kind of depresses me because I love whiteboards, okay? It wasn't, they didn't form a committee. They didn't just get to work. You know what it says in verse 14? It says, these all with one mind were continually, help me out here, devoting themselves to prayer. Church, they said, God, we know the mission is big. We believe in Jesus, and we know that you're going to use us. We want to be your church. So we're going to seek you, God, continually and desperately in prayer. And that set the stage. Church, Acts 2:41, 3,000 people were saved and were baptized. You know, you could get really excited and say, hey, guess we don't need God anymore. We just got 3,000 people saved. We grew by so much percent. But it says this, they were continually devoting themselves to prayer. It was a way of life for their church family. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the word of God and sharing the gospel of Jesus. They were threatened by their leaders, right? They said, stop it. Do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. What did they do? So they said, sorry, but we've got to continue to trust in Jesus. So they go back to the church family. They go to the local church where you know, that they were a part of. And what does the church do? It says in verse 24, it says they panicked and they freaked out and they stopped being the church. No, it says this, they lifted their voices to the Lord in one accord. They prayed for boldness, church, to continue to be the church that God called them to be. They prayed for boldness to share the gospel of Jesus. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Church, when this church family wanted to see God at work, you know what they did? They prayed, right? When they were in trouble, guess what they did? They prayed. When they were scared, they prayed. When we look throughout all of Acts, before we see big moments happen, by the way, Derek and I were talking about Acts this past week. As a church planter, I love the book of Acts. Right? And I think we should all love the book of Acts because you see God do really big things in this church. But here's the thing we do see. There's a lot of big moments, but every single big moment, the Bible tells us it was after they prayed. Acts chapter 2, before thousands got saved, they prayed to remain united as a church. They prayed to overcome fear and opposition. They prayed to grow in numbers. They prayed. They were devoted to prayer in Acts chapter 10, and they see God begin to save the Gentiles. They prayed and sent Paul and Barnabas and Silas out on missionary journeys where more people were saved by Jesus. They prayed and churches were planted. They prayed and lives were changed forever. They prayed and the Bible says cities were turned upside down with the gospel. Too often we look to programs and ministries and trends, or actually here's what we do more. We lean on our own abilities or our own talents or our resources, and we neglect prayer individually and corporately. But instead, church, let's be devoted to prayer. Why should we at Authentic Life be devoted to prayer? Because if we're honest and we're truly humble, we know that we can do nothing on our own. We pray because we aren't okay with the same old, same old. We pray because we want to see God do little things and big things in and through us. We're devoted to prayer because we believe in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, that we pray to the God that is able to do far more abundantly beyond all we could ever ask or think. Guys, in the church, if we neglect prayer or we get distracted even by important things like other ministries, if we get distracted from praying, I just say, we might as well go home. But instead, let's follow the example of this early church and of Jesus. I want to give you an example of Jesus. Mark 1:35, Jesus had been serving. He had been doing ministry. He had now a gathering very quickly. He had a gathering, and he was doing more ministry, and he had more ministry to do. But look what he does. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place and was praying there. Jesus modeled and exampled in his life and in his ministry that he prioritized prayer. Guys, prayer isn't something that we tag on the end. It's not something when we do that when there's nothing else to do. We become devoted to prayer as a church family when we prioritize seeking God. Here's how we seek him. We seek him in humility, knowing that we can do nothing apart from him. So we set aside our pride and we seek him in prayer. We seek him in submission, which means that we say, God, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey you. We seek him as our Father in heaven, so we seek him relationally as the God that loves us, and we seek him with passion. Guys, we are devoted when prayer becomes a priority, not just an afterthought or a filler. And we also become devoted to prayer as a church when it's happening both individually and corporately. One of the things that we challenged ourselves to do at the beginning of this year, and we're going to talk about it throughout this year, was to pray. Kevin, can you put that slide up there? Do you have the logo? Oh, there it is. We put this on our social media. We've got it on our website. Is to pray for our church daily. The goal is to pray at 1:11 because we launched on January 11th, 2015. But pray whatever time it is, every single day, right? Set it on your calendar. You know what's really funny is I was meeting with a pastor the other day, and we're sitting there having wings because, that's the godly thing to do is have some good old hot wings, you know. And we're sitting there having a great conversation about serving in foster care and ministry and different things like that. And my phone went off. I said, hey, man, we got to stop for a minute. And he goes, why? Is everything okay? I said, yeah, we got to pray. You pray for your church, I'm going to pray for mine. We'll get back at it. Like, we just stopped. We were devoted to praying. By the way, reminder, pray for Authentic Life Church, for God to be at work in and through our church. But here's the thing. If we want to see God at work, we are to devote ourselves to prayer. The question that we have to ask ourselves is this: what distracts us or keeps us from praying? Because there's plenty of it. And there's a lot of good things that distract us. It's an important question. The 12 leaders, the 12 apostles here, they identified something, even something important that could possibly keep them from praying. I'm going to make a statement here. I'm going to say it twice to make sure we understand it. Sometimes us doing for God can keep us from being with God. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes us doing ministry and doing things for God can keep us from being with God. But here's what we see throughout all of Scripture. Jesus calls us first to be with him. He doesn't say go and do first. He says be with me, and then out of that, I'm going to pour into you, and then I'll do it out of the overflow of that. Does that make sense, church? Right, here's the thing. I assure you, God will use you and our church. He will work in and through us if we are spending time with him in prayer. How do I know that? Because God is true. He's faithful. That's who he is. That's what he does. So we got to be careful. Make sure we're not doing for God before we're spending time with God. So the 12, they say in verse 4, but we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and then to the ministry of the word. So as Jesus followers and at Authentic Life Church, right, we are to be devoted to prayer. And guys, we have also got to be devoted to the ministry of the word. We have to be. These 12 leaders, they make it clear. A top priority in their church for their faith family is to be in the word of God and to speak the word of God and to live out the word of God. Now, here's the thing. That should be a given, right? I mean, you look at that and you say, man, this is a godly church. That should be a given. It shouldn't even be in question. But guess what? Throughout the whole New Testament, God is reminding the local church to remain devoted to the word of God. Verse 2, the apostles say it twice, right? In verse 2, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God, meaning it would not be right for us to neglect it. In other words, it would be sinful if we neglect the word of God. Verse 4, but we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. To be devoted again, remember, to be constant, be to continual. These church leaders and this church family were devoted to the word. Let's, again, look at that in action. How did they live this out? Here we go. Acts chapter 2. Peter preached the word of God. He didn't preach some kind of social message. He preached the word of God. He preached the gospel. And guess what happened? Acts 2:41, 3,000 people were saved and became part of the church. They were devoted to prayer, but they were also continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Guess what they were teaching? The word of God, right? They were teaching the word of God, the teachings of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 11, we see Peter again preach the word of God. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are arrested. Why? For preaching the word of God and sharing the gospel. Guys, Ephesians chapter 4 tells us that there are pastors and teachers in the church for the equipping of the saints, for the building up of the body. So they are shepherding and teaching scripture and God's word. That's our goal. Philippians, Paul tells the church to grow by the word. We want to be more like Jesus. We grow by the word. Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy's pastor in the church in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, Timothy, pastor, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Now, why do we cover all those passages about teaching the word of God? Why did the apostles have to protect the preaching and the teaching and the following the word of God? Why was it a priority in their church? Because church, there is a temptation to not preach the word. There is. Because sometimes the word doesn't gather a whole lot of people. Because the word of God can be offensive because we're sinful people. Right? That's why it's super important to be under the right teaching or reading the right books. Guys, there's a lot of religious leaders that have gotten distracted. Let's just lay it that way. Right? They've gotten distracted and they're preaching false teaching or a false gospel or sometimes not even the Bible at all. Or they're just going to teaching like self-help stuff or living your best life now and they neglect the word of God. So while it seems like a no-brainer, these 12, they say, guys, we can't neglect the word of God. We've got to remain faithful to the word church at Authentic Life Church. If we're going to be devoted to the ministry of the word, we must remain faithful to the word of God. There's a saying we repeat here, and it's this: by the grace of God, we will remain faithful to the word of God. Why? Because it's easy for church leaders and for the people in the church to get distracted. Why? Because it is the written word of God. It is our instruction from our Creator. It is our love letter from our Savior. It is where we find the life and ministry of Jesus, because it is what teaches us of who God is, because it's the word of God that we grow by to be more like Jesus. Read the self-help books, tackle them, do all you want, but they won't make you more like Jesus. They won't. And when we think about being faithful, it's not just about teaching it, but it's also about applying it for me and you, right? James tells us, don't just be hearers of the word, but be what? Doers, right? Live it out, obey it, live by it, trust in it. And when life presents us life, and it will, we seek God in prayer and we seek his word. That's a life of remaining faithful to the word of God. Listen to what Paul teaches 2 Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. By the way, Timothy, again, he's pastoring the church in Ephesus, and he's instructing him, he's teaching him, he's encouraging him. I think I said in teaching him. Let's just roll with it, all right? He reminds him of how important the word of God is. Listen to what he says. He says, Timothy, Pastor Tim, right? He says, church, all scripture is inspired by God. The word inspired is translated as God-breathed, meaning this, it is all of it. All of the word of God is breathed out by God. And that's an important reminder. Why? Because even those that are devoted to certain parts of passages might skip over others, right? We don't pick and choose what we believe in the Bible, right? So all scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable. It's good. We need it. For what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, right? To be more like Jesus, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Guys, it's the Bible that trains us to follow Jesus. It's the Bible that teaches us how to live the life God calls us to live. It's the Bible that teaches us to know God more. Let me be very clear. It's not someone's opinion. It's not the way of the culture. It's not what is politically correct that makes us more like Jesus. It's the Word of God. And Paul continues, church, we need to hear this. I need you guys focused in on here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul charges Pastor Tim. He says, Pastor Tim, right? Preacher, preach the Word. Right? Preach the Word. And then he describes what we see too often in churches and in our own lives. He says in verse 3, he says, for the time will come, Pastor Tim, the time will come when they, when people, even in the church, will not endure sound doctrine. They won't endure the truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. Let's be reminded about what the Bible says about our fleshly desires. Right? And they're going to turn away their ears. They're no longer going to listen to the truth, but will turn aside to miss. Church, let me be very clear. We are living in that day. We're living in that day where people want to hear only what pleases them or what is easy or is culturally acceptable or politically correct. We're living in the day where people will leave godly teaching only to find a teacher that doesn't preach the Word of God. The apostle says we can't do that. So they said we've got to remain faithful to prayer and to the Word of God. And if we need one last reason, if none of that made any sense to you or you just don't like any of it, Jesus commands before he goes into heaven. He says, hey, right, go make disciples, baptize them, and teach them all I commanded. So we're to remain faithful to the Word. In church, we're also devoted to the ministry of the Word when we prioritize the proclaiming of the gospel. Church, please don't miss this. This has never been more true. These apostles were out sharing the gospel, the words of Jesus to a lost world. It was through the message of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that lives were being saved and changed. Verse 1 says, in those days, as the disciples were increasing in number, means more and more people were getting saved, baptized, and then becoming part of the church. Let me be very clear of what was adding to their church. It was not a politician. It was not a celebrity. It was not a trend. It was not a new book. It was not an influencer. None of those things were changing lives and rescuing people from sin. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ, church. It was the good news of Jesus that he came and died for your sins and my sins and that he rose again, right? And that he can be with us and we'll be with him for eternity. It was the call for people to repent, to turn from what they were doing, to follow Jesus as Lord. That is what turned the world upside down. We find ourselves in a moment of time, church, I need you to hear me, where people are pursuing truth. Right? They're seeking hope. They're fighting through uncertainty. They are full of fear. They don't need a political statement. They don't need a promise from a politician or a celebrity or an influencer. They don't need a find yourself book. They don't need any of that. They need to hear from you and from me. Let me say that again. They need to hear from you and me about Jesus Christ. That's what they need to hear. We should, as Christians, engage in political discussion. We should. We should engage in conversations that are happening in the world. We should be a part of that. We should engage in what is going on in our country, in our city, in our neighborhoods, in our world. We should engage in that. But the only thing that are going to give people certainty is the gospel of Jesus. The only thing that are going to give people the answers they need for their brokenness is not something that our politicians say. The answer for their brokenness is the Word of God. It's the good news of Jesus. The only thing that gives people real eternal hope is Jesus and his love for him and the life that he offers him and the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus says this. He says, listen, church. Listen, America. Listen, Tucson. Listen, Authentic Life. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one goes to heaven except through me. No one comes into relationship and is adopted into the family of God except through Jesus. In our broken world, there's brokenness all around us, right? All God's people said, amen, right? Brokenness all around us. There's desperation and hurt and fear and giving up and suicide all around us. And the only way through that is Jesus. So you and me telling others about Jesus must be a priority. Now, I don't want anybody to raise their hand. But Jesus tells us, because I saved you, Jesus says, go and tell others about me and how I saved you. Right? The question is that a priority in your life? To tell others about Jesus. Now, we can know if it's a priority by asking ourselves one question, one simple question. When's the last time I shared Jesus and his gospel with someone? Right? These 12 leaders said, we know what got us here. We know why we're growing. We know why lives are being saved and changed and lives are being rescued eternally. It's because of Jesus. And so we said, we are going to remain devoted to what works. We're going to pray to the God of the universe, right? We're going to seek God. We're going to call on God. We're going to preach the word of God. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to live it out. And look what happened in verse 7. This is what happened. So they said, hey, we got an issue to take care of. The church steps in and serves and helps those ladies, right? Man, I'm getting ready to run a race. I'm just going, man. But here's the thing. In verse 7, they said, we're going to be devoted to prayer and to the word, right? And it says, so the word of God spread, right? The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number, and large group of priests became obedient to the faith. Church, they chose to remain devoted to God's word, and they chose to remain devoted to prayer. Authentic Life Church, as we close, when we are devoted to prayer and to the word of God, we will see God at work. We will. This church in Acts, they were devoted to prayer. They were devoted to the word of God and to the gospel, and they grew. They saw people saved. They saw needs met. They spread all over the world, right? The church grew. If we are devoted to prayer and to the word, we will see God move. Amen? What a good way to end this series, man. Let's pray.